I'm bringing on my soul sister, Joy Melchizedek, who's in Pennsylvania, and I'm in Michigan. And then we have a guest that's in Connecticut who's going to speak to us. First of all, I'd like to welcome Joy to our special program. How are you doing, Joy?
I'm really good, TJ. It's wonderful to be back with you, everyone.
Yeah, once in a while we do this. And then the guest we have today, his name is Don Jacobs, and he's out of Connecticut. He told me the name of his town, but I scribbled it down. I can't read my writing. So, but the two of you met through Soul Support Systems. Is that correct?
Yes, right, Don?
Yes, absolutely. I got introduced to Joy then early on and just fell in love with her, and it's been an ongoing story.
That's cool.
Yes, indeed. 12 years and slow.
No, I was just going to say this. So Don is going to tell us a little bit about himself, because I know that he's been traveling a bit and he's got his own journey. And so, Don, if you could give us a little background about yourself, please.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you for welcoming me so warmly, and I really appreciate the time to chat with you all about some of the things that I'm doing. So I'm just going to read my short bio. It's like three sentences, and that'll give you a concise and quick kind of feel for what I'm doing in the world. So I'll just read it here. I offer my experience and passion as a lifelong educator. I spent 32 years of teaching health, physical education, and coaching at Litchfield High School in Litchfield, Connecticut, within an integral approach to vibrant health. My extensive background includes experience in individual and group dynamics, intuitive knowledge, and in-depth training of masculine and feminine energies, which is David Davis' work, and training in soul recognition as a certified facilitator, and 3 years of experience in the application of a polarity lens. It's all about transcending the either or and working towards the both and. So I try to integrate that in everyday life. I'm also integrating my experiences in my work as a teacher, workshop facilitator, and life coach. My emerging passion is creating more in-the-zone moments through the daily application of a wholeness perspective. I've woven my passion for yoga and my teaching experience together to provide yoga guidance at Cherim Yoga Center in Litchfield, Connecticut, Windy and Retreat Center in Morris, Connecticut, and for private individual instructions. So that's kind of where I'm dancing through my life these days, and really working into a lot of soul recognition trainings and offerings, as well as my masculine feminine energy awareness application.
Well, that's a pretty good definition. Go ahead, Joy.
Yeah, I was just thinking, what a dance.
For sure.
Didn't you just come back from traveling through some country? You were hosted
I do a lot of masculine feminine energy awareness. I do a lot of men's work, a couple's work, and some women's work with explaining and understanding the energies that we all carry. And I just got back from Amsterdam, Holland. We did a 4-day intensive retreat with 53 men, really working through all these principles of energy awareness and being more conscious and more heart-centered in our masculine energy.
Would you share with us how you experience the energy? I know most of our listeners have a sense of what energy is, but in your definition, could you explain to us how you perceive the masculine and feminine energies and how you apply them and use them in your work?
Absolutely. I'd be very happy to. And I just want to start with a little question about we all look at ourselves. So there are all different ways to look at ourselves to see what's going on within our spirit, body, and mind, and that kind of make some shifts or changes, or just provide ourselves for awarenesses for more health, more healing, and more openings and that type of thing. And so my way in, I know there's a number, like the chakra system, the Enneagram, the astrological system, the meridians with the chi, but the way I really prefer to look at myself is through my energy. And basically, what we define our energy as is two different types of energies that are blending together all the time, almost like a lava lamp. You know that mushy fluid stuff that you see in a lava lamp. Well, that's our energy. To me, just the pictorial here, that's our energy, and within that, our masculine, feminine traits or characteristics that always mesh together. And sometimes we're more in our masculine energy, and other times more in our feminine, but they always are dancing and weaving together. And they're in everybody, so it's not a gender-specific thing. So it's not that men have masculine and women have feminine. We all have both energies that are working within our body and our system for us to use. And so the way I can begin is the way we identify these is, I think you've all understand a little bit about the witness place. I think we've all kind of meditated at one time or another, and we've resided in the witness, which is that place of stillness, emptiness. It's kind of a watcher or a witness place where we can see ourselves, we watch our thoughts, we watch our body, we watch all the things that are in motion around. And that stillness place, that place of holding a sacred, stable container that everything can arise in, we call the masculine. So the masculine is the place where you provide a concrete, stable structure and rest towards stillness or emptiness. And that's one of the types of energies we hold. The other type is everything else that moves, we call the feminine. So everything, our emotions, our body motions, our minds dancing around, anything that moves, the weather, a hurricane, anything outside of us that we can see and actually moves, we call the feminine. And so we have both of these within us. So it's a nice little dance. And it actually, if you settle into any moment and just settle into a moment, there's a witness to that moment or a container or a stillness, an emptiness. And then there's things that move within that moment. So that's the basics or the backdrop to the way we talk about our energy. And Joy, if you'd like me to just keep going, I can flow into like the characteristics of it.
Sure.
Does that work?
Yeah.
Does that work for you?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, that work for you, TJ?
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah?
Go ahead.
So for those two energies that we naturally just have, they kind of show up in different ways. The masculine energy, the way we use it, is that energy of focus, of direction, of holding a solid, grounded structure that is deep and wide and has a lot of presence to it. And you can feel it in someone's body when they're embodying those characteristics of solid structure. Their feet are deep in the earth. They're breathing deeply into their stomach so that they're bringing breath all the way into their body and out. They're typically moving towards silence or stillness, and that's the feel of that energy. The feminine energy is more towards all motion, the juice of life, the life force, where anything that moves, it wants to be felt. Anything that that we dance with or move is the feminine energy that we utilize. And the way we kind of look at these two energies is the masculine is looking toward freedom from things, stillness type of thing. So I think if y'all tap into a place where you've got a lot of jobs to do in a day. You get them all done and you're going, finally I can rest and relax and just hang out. You know, that's the freedom from constraints that the masculine experiences. It wants to move towards stillness. It loves to sit in meditation and just be still. Now, the feminine energy is really wanting to give love and receive love, that life force, delicious juice that's always present. So their wanting or their expression is all about providing love out away from themselves and then taking in love in every moment. So kind of like a quick little overview of those energies and what they kind of might feel like when you're moving throughout the day. And again, they're not gender specific. Everybody has both of these energies. They're very fluid. So in each moment, we could be shifting back and forth between the two. And we can say a lot, and we will during this time, about how they show up in the world and some of the things we need to address within that.
Very interesting. Mm. In your description, it's very visual, too, and you can see, you know, like when you talk about the movement of the feminine, it just really connects with the fact that the feminine births and it has action to it and energy and movement to it, where the masculine is stable and present. It's very strong, what you're describing. When you got involved in this aspect of your work, what was it that pushed you into going into this particular arena here?
Joy, that's a great question because, quite frankly, I had no idea about these energies and I was really struggling with interpersonal relationships. You know, just regular relationships between people, never mind intimate relationships. And I just had such trouble relating and finding all these areas of conflict and feeling like I failed a lot of times with the people around me or my partner. And so I really wanted to kind of drill into how I could be, and I'll just say it, how I could be a better man or a better person and be able to relate in a healthy, loving way with other people and especially in my intimacy. And so I just looked around at all the different ways of, as I said earlier, being aware of ourselves, and I really was drawn to David's work and the definitions and the structure and the ways the masculine and feminine work together, and that's what his work is all about: is how to make those interactions much more healthy.
How to balance
those
out? Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Say,
it's really about finding balance because that's really kind of where we're the direction we're going. You know, some have said that we need to find balance in order to ascend to this next place. So this is why, right. You know, I kind of see what you're doing. It's like, yeah, that's right on. I agree with you.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because we all have these energies, but, you know, it gets confusing because we call one of them masculine and one of them feminine. So everybody has the idea that men have masculine and women have feminine. And they get really conflicted because it's not the case at all. And it's more like, how do we understand these two energies we hold within us for our own good, our individual personal good, so that we can become more balanced? And then how do we understand to relate to somebody else because of the window that we're using of energy, you know?
So, you know, when you describe this too, it feels too like it's really about the sacred marriage within us of the feminine and masculine that you're working to support and help others to embody that, right?
Absolutely. Right? Yeah, absolutely. And that's where we start. We start within ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's, let me just pop into one more basic thing we should probably understand is when we start with ourselves, typically we each have a preferred place we call home in those energies. And over the 40 years that Dave has been doing this stuff, he's taken surveys of a lot of people. And generally, men are about 85% of men would prefer to move into their masculine energy as a resting place, as a place they call home. And about 85% of women would rather rest in their feminine as a place they call home. So as we work within ourselves, one of the things we need to look at is where do we call home? And because, you know, like I said, 85% is a high number, but there's 15% of people that prefer the other energy as a home base. So that's a little self-knowledge that we need to look at in order for us to then start to begin to balance those energies within us. And one of the things I found early on when I started with this whole philosophy, if you will, is as I looked at my own masculine and feminine, I just found a lot of instances where my masculine could not hold my feminine from dysfunctional workings, you know, and really what we talk about all the time is, can your masculine energy husband your feminine energy so they become one and in oneness and in balance? I'll give you a quick example. I just did not have a strong enough stable structure to keep myself in the areas of finances where my feminine one want to get to the juice of life and see something colorful or impactful, get all excited and want to buy it and own it. And my masculine, we didn't have the money for that, but I just charge it, throw it on any credit card, and just so I could have it because I was fully in the moment of the juice of life. And then later on, okay, how do you pay for something that you go into debt and now you're off balance with all the financial piece because your two energies are not working together, informing each other of a healthy, appropriate balance.
Yeah, they're out of congruency.
Yes. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting, this piece you're describing, because this is like a hidden piece that's linked to how people do or don't live the laws of manifestation, too. This piece you're talking about is pivotal because there are a lot of people that want to live the laws of manifestation but don't understand to do that. This has to be balanced, too.
Right. And so what we teach in our workshops and our coaching and that type of thing is we work with an individual with his or her own energies first. And how do we balance those? A lot like what Flo does in the soul recognition. You know, we really want to come to a oneness place or a balanced place where we're working in symmetry instead of conflict, you know, and making that more aware to ourselves. You know, all these ways of looking at ourselves is really to bring awareness to what's going on and mindfulness. And so that's how we do it with the energy piece of it.
TJ, were you going to say something?
Hello. I was going to say, you know.
Hello.
It's like I hear him telepathically tracing in there. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, as you were talking about it, I find myself probably in many ways connected to the emotional part of my energy, which I guess you would call feminine energy, correct? And
yes, that's right.
I've felt that, because I remember back to 2 years old being very young, and I've always felt this overwhelming love for others and love for myself and just wanted to express that to others. And I just felt that's who I am. But also I understand the part about the balance of it. I feel like I'm pretty well balanced, but as I hear you talking, I'm going, well, maybe I'm not as balanced as I should be.
TJ, I'm sure you are. Believe me, if you're doing this work in the world here, I'm sure you're in pretty good shape.
But I've always been connected to the feminine energy, that sensitivity, that just that love. I can remember it at an early age, just loving everybody and wanting to express that. So it really hits home with me with what you're saying.
Yeah. And so let me pop in here about that, because it doesn't really matter what feels like home to you. The thing is, if we can cultivate and grow each one of those energies to into balance, then it's beautiful, because we can almost at will call up one of the energies for our own use in whatever we're doing in the moment, and then slide right into the other side to bring whatever we need to in the next moment. And so it's really wonderful to work and practice. We give practices all the time for both energies to cultivate both energies, so they're both really strong. And you have energy agility. And what we mean by that is you're able to access your masculine when you need to, when you need a direction, you need a focus in life, you need to get things done, and so you call up your masculine. And when you don't need that anymore and you want to just experience all the beautiful juice of life, you just flow over into your feminine and then back and forth from moment to moment. And it's really an ecstatic way of living as you learn to be more agile in your energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you're describing it, I remember this one time the beings, you know, the higher beings, gave me this yoga exercise to do to balance the masculine and feminine. And sure. I know you're into yoga. I've experienced some of what you do, and it's really profound. Do you feel that going into that really deep, rich place of the masculine, feminine, did yoga help to bring that peace out also for you?
Yes, because, and I'll tell you, talk to you a little bit about that, because yoga in itself is a beautiful blend of masculine, feminine. As you flow into your poses, obviously you're doing the feminine piece in your work, and whether you're going slow or fast, you're moving, you're flowing into things. But once you hold a pose, you're sinking down into that quiet, deep, still space. And as you hold that pose, you just sink deeper and deeper. Even though it's a little uncomfortable and there's some discomfort with it, You get beyond that as you sink into that beautiful emptiness witness place. And then you come out of it and you go into your movement again. And the thing that people that are new to yoga, they feel like it's just a workout, when really it's a beautiful tapping into both energies. And they come out of class and go, well, I know that's not like any other workout I have ever had, because there was this deep place that I found that I really went inside my own self, and it felt really great. You know, so I used yoga, and we use yoga now all the time as that beautiful balance of masculine and feminine. We have certain practices for that. It is beautiful. And the other part of that is when we teach a certain energy, when we teach men to be more masculine in their structure, we teach them yoga poses to hold. And so that yoga is very good for holding a pose and then sinking deeper into the witness mode, into yourself, whatever you want to call it, into an internal state. And as you learn that in a yoga pose, you can embody that and carry that with you every step you take in each day. And people will feel that without any words. You'll walk into a room and they'll say, oh, you know, especially the feminine will feel that strong, centered, stable masculine that just walked in the room and didn't say a word. but they feel that energy. And it's you know, so that's an example. We do the same thing with the feminine energy. If someone needs to embody that more or cultivate that more, there's different like sacred dance exercises where you on purpose dance in a certain way so that you express through your body that juice of life, that feminine expression that mm-hmm. just lights up the world and you just bring light through your body in a feminine practice to cultivate those energies if you need to balance, you know, grow that a little bit. So
yeah, that's lovely. Yeah. I've done some of that. James Stewart and I have hit the road doing that at times. Going
cool.
and dancing the sacred feminine and Sophia yeah. and Kali and all those. I just wanted to check in too. TJ, did you ever do yoga?
No, I've never done yoga.
No?
Mm-mm.
So you're naturally like this? This is impressive.
Yeah, I feel up in balance because I know the masculine side of it. I can be firm and still. I love being still. I just, there's times I get home from work and I just sit on my deck and I just love watching nature.
Mm.
And I used to be so impatient as a kid, I couldn't do that. I was so impatient. But there was always this part of me that has this big loving energy that just comes through me. So I feel like, okay, they're both there.
Yeah.
I feel comfortable with both of them.
Well, it feels really good. Just energetically right now, it feels really good.
Mm-hmm. You know, the two of you have a very strong connection with nature, too. And is that like one place that you both feel yourselves go into balance from there as well?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. For
sure.
Because the thing, so here we are. If you're natively more at home in the masculine, nature will really feed you because nature is something that you can experience as a masculine creature that you can't give yourself. So if you go to a waterfall, you go to a mountain, you go to a desert, you go wherever, whatever speaks to you, the ocean is really good at feeding the masculine feminine energy. You know, obviously we as humans do that with each other. But whenever you need to be fed and you want to do that by yourself or whatever, the ocean is an amazing place. The mountains, hiking is in the woods, the forest. It's just, if that energy just feeds you because just naturally a masculine is drawn towards the feminine pole. You know, that's our polarity where the masculine and feminine are drawn together. You know, like an electrical charge or a battery in a car, you have two poles. Well, obviously, the masculine and feminine poles are very attracted to each other. So if one person is in their masculine, one is in their feminine, they will just naturally be drawn to each other. And then, of course, discernment takes over from there. But just if you're talking just energetics, that's kind of the juice of life, the spark of intimate relationships, you know, is that polarity that exists between those two energies.
Wow. So how do you celebrate their differences?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that. now that we looked at working within ourselves, obviously we want to relate to other people. And so celebrating the differences is really important in our work. And one of the ways we guide you into that is giving you this little story. If a frog and a turtle got married or had a conscious relationship, it would be silly for the frog to think that the turtle should act like a frog.
Yeah.
Understand what I'm saying? So,
yep.
So it's very clear. You got a frog and a turtle. Well, the turtle's not going to start acting like a frog, so it'd be silly for the frog to think that. Well, when we get together in relationship, we tend to want to have the other person act or be kind of like us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get very confused about Let's say it's an intimate couple, a man, a husband and a wife. They're married, whatever. And the man, typically, if he's in his native home of masculine, will want to go towards silence or stillness. Well, the woman, if she's in her native feminine, and obviously they're probably that way because they were drawn together, you know, but she's probably more, you know, more comfortable in her feminine. She'll want to be moved towards motion and action and love, receiving it, and all that stuff. And this man is moving towards stillness, which is kind of away from that. And she's sitting there. If she doesn't understand what's going on, it's not that he doesn't love her or want to be with her. It's just his native disposition is to move towards more silence. And so if she doesn't understand it, she'll feel like when he does that, oh, he must not love her anymore, or what's wrong, or what's going on, when really there's nothing wrong. He's just a turtle and she's the frog. There's really nothing wrong. He still loves her dearly, but his native disposition is to be more quiet towards stillness and fewer words. Like a masculine-feminine conversation, the masculine wants to hurry up and get to the point and stop it. The woman wants to never stop the conversation and just keep feeling the love and the energy and the motion of it. So if two people don't understand that, then there's conflict right away, because she feels like she's not loved. He's wondering why she's repeating the same thing over and over and over again and doesn't get to the point. You know, and so right away you got some stuff going on here, just because we don't understand those energies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like when the guy goes into the cave. I coach people, and women will come to me and they'll say to me, "Well, I haven't heard from him in 6 hours. No text, no nothing." And I'm like, "He's in his cave. Let him be in there. If you go get him, he's going to be mad."
Right.
Like, it's that kind of thing. But I think the way you described it is perfect. This story with the turtle and everything. That's it. That's it to a T, you know?
Right. So what we try and do is teach people just the simple understandings of how both of those energies work within ourselves and between people. You know, and obviously they're going to be different if they attract each other. You're going to have places where their different energies are present, and the understanding is really critical. That's why we talk about celebrating the differences. So the man also needs to celebrate the juice of life and love that the woman is wanting all the time. To understand that as a man, and I get it, I finally got it, you know, I'm holding my structure, holding my ground, and she's just doing her thing, and I can remind myself that that's just her native disposition, and that's who she is, then I can just love her in that place and hold her in that structure so she can then feel comfortable to keep staying at home in her feminine and just enjoy the energy, because the masculine gets fed by that feminine energy and the feminine gets fed by that masculine structure and grounded stability. So that's what we mean by celebrating the differences. They're really wonderful. And obviously if you haven't done your work around triggers and around, you know, projections and around shadows, you know, there's a lot of places there rife for conflict where somebody will jump to a conclusion that's really not necessarily there.
Yep.
Yeah.
I hear you.
That's great stuff.
Yeah,
And Joy and TJ, you wouldn't believe how many aha moments show up with both men and women when we really get down to explaining what that's all about and doing practices to show that, and then obviously ask them to look at that for themselves or their relationship and see where they can go with it in a different direction.
That's really cool.
It is. It's amazing. It's amazing.
You know, and I'm listening to this too, and you're talking about that, I just realized that really this is, we're drawn together as beings. I mean, it's not by accident. Nothing's by accident, for one. It could be planned before we even come here, or it could be something that happens while we're here. We could draw somebody in with our thoughts and attitudes and energies. And it's really, they're drawn in to teach us. We're here to teach each other, to balance each other out, really. Wouldn't you say long term with everybody?
Absolutely. I'm totally on board with that,
And so a lot of it, too, for me, in like the relationship, I have an incredible relationship with my wife, and we're very similar, and she's taught me many things, and I'm guessing maybe I taught her nothing, but that's a joke. And so the point of it is that I just learned over time, letting go of expectations is such a great way to have a solid relationship with somebody. It seems like we put expectations on everything, whether it's friendships and the need to feel loved, when it's like, if you know you're already loved by the universe, by endless numbers of beings, when you truly accept that, you don't seek it out in someone else. And when you have that kind of relationship with someone else, it's so freeing. But yet there's a lot of respect there, and I just don't need that back from her. You know, it's like, I'm glad I get it. Maybe if I didn't get it, I'd be saying this differently, right? But it's like, but I just know that I'm willing to just give it out freely, you know? And to me, that's kind of where I think we're being led.
Absolutely. And it's, we call it, David calls it first, second, and third stage relating. And it sounds very much like you're in a third stage, the highest form, where you're giving your gifts to each other and to the world for the greater good. You know, you're really giving each other your individual gifts so that they combine into a beautiful offering to the world and to the greater good. And that's the best way to relate with each other.
I couldn't imagine.
That sounds wonderful.
I couldn't imagine Donald being in a relationship if it was any other way, to be honest with you. I really don't feel that it would be worth pursuing at that point, at this point in my life. So I'm blessed to have this person. I know we've been on many journeys together, this person that's with me. So it's just part of where we're at. And it's not perfect. There's always things, you know, but that's what, these things too, also, that they're there to challenge me, not just relationships that, you know, intimate relationships, but work relationships. Any relationship is always there to challenge us. And if there's anything that rubs you about it, then it's an opportunity to become more complete.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We teach that really your woman or your, not woman, but your partner is your oracle. In other words, she can see you better sometimes than you can see yourself. And that's what we do in men's work a lot. We witness each other because we feel that another man or another person can see you better than you can see yourself. We can't see in our own eye. Our own eyeball can't see our own eye. So we need feedback from other men, and especially from our intimate woman, in terms of, you know, she can feel so easily when we're out of sorts with our consciousness, where we're kind of just not as good a man as we could be, and vice versa. We just help each other so much, just like you're speaking to. The problem is, TJ, you know, there's not a lot of people that have grown to that point yet. And we're working with the people that are wanting to grow more and more in terms of these awarenesses and realizations.
And I would add too that it's very vital, if we're going to, and everything I've heard about this, and Joy, you can chime in, if we're going to ascend supposedly to this next dimension, we can't do it until we work all this stuff out. That's what I keep hearing over and over.
Absolutely, yeah. And so our work is all about, you know, just bringing awareness to people about what's really here, what it all means, some practices to work individually and with others to just become more enlightened people, if you will, or people that are more aware of how to get along with each other, how to get along with yourselves and then with each other. And you know as well as I do, our childhood wounds, our patterns from when we were early on in this life, you know, really kind of get in the way, and they're things we have to look at and then try and process and soften so that they're not as big a triggers when we do work with someone else. So we dive into all that kind of stuff. It's really, really interesting, really, really wonderful work.
John, you just hit on exactly where I was going to. I know myself, like for me, when I was a little girl, like TJ, I was all about, let me love you, you know. I would go visit the elderly and do healing work and stuff, and, you know, yeah. Was channeling Christ till I was 33. Not that I stopped channeling Christ, but right. In the process of living life, I got very, very strong into the masculine because I felt unconsciously I had to do that to live through things I was living through. And then right. In my 33rd year, which was last week, I tapped in. No, that's a joke now. yes. No, that I'll be 60 this year. So, but the feminine, like, kicked in almost 30 years ago. I, like, went and gathered myself into that with her. And it's interesting because in that path of working with the masculine and feminine and then going through stuff and training and flow and a bunch of other things, you know, one of the pivotal pieces that a lot of times does not get addressed, even when people are learning the importance of grounding and balancing, is the fact that a soul has to feel safe to do it. And
absolutely.
That piece, like, to heal the wounds, some of the wounds people deal with are so deep and so extensive, and all somebody knows is they're not balanced, they're not present, they're not grounded,
right.
But they don't dig deep enough to support that person in such a way that the safety is fully addressed. So what I'm getting to is, do you find that happens a lot when you're working with people, that piece connected to the safety of being in the presence of home with others comes up a lot right now?
Yes, I see that a lot with the safety factor. You know, I do a number of soul recognition workshops, and by and large, they're mostly women that come in, and most of the time they're closed down, especially mm-hmm. to the masculine or to men, because they've been hurt so often that they don't feel safe at all to open and be and just show who they are organically, because they've been hurt and wounded for so much of their relationship mm-hmm. life, if you will. And I'll just give you a quick story of mine. When I was a little boy, I had a very abusive, verbally abusive, not too much physical, father and an older brother who was very large for his age and kind of, if you what you call a bully. And so at an early age, I had to really learn to shut things down with my masculine, because if I challenged or confronted them, I would get hit or punished or whatever. So I learned early on to take on we call it a shell, a feminine shell, where I would soften. I would slide around and not make any noise. I would kind of read the energy when I came into the room and mm-hmm. made myself a certain energy so I wouldn't encourage conflict. And I just had to hide because I was not safe. And
yeah.
That's a little boy that's growing up in a household mm-hmm. like that takes on a different way of being that's not his natural way of being, just to be safe. And
yeah.
that happens to so many people. And mostly it's coming out now, and has been in our toxic masculine society about women, but it's really about most people that are not in a safe environment will close down and will take on an energy that will allow them to survive. And so yeah. What we do is kind of try to undo a lot of that in our workshops, as we do in soul recognition, where we can start to hold a strong, stable container so everybody feels safe, feels held to express who they really are instead of who they've become because they weren't safe.
Wow. This is such an important work. It really, mm-hmm. really is. Mm-hmm. It's massive. It's, you know, I feel too, now you haven't necessarily said this, but I really feel when people are balanced like this in their masculine and feminine, it diminishes and heals violence too. I feel like if you look at the warring energies on the planet, it's really an imbalance of masculine and feminine energies. It's just awry. It's chaotic. And, you know, it just seems even one at a time or a group at a time that it increases the vibration of peace on the planet. It's huge.
Yeah, because when you create a structure that's safe and stable and mm-hmm. heart-centered, the biggest thing is it's heart-centered. Mm-hmm. It's not heart-closed, it's heart-centered. Mm-hmm. And then whoever comes into that structure can just open to who they really are. There is no conflict. Anything, any rough edges that come about, and you know from the work in the soul recognition, the field or the container just smooths out and dissipates so that there's harmony and there's oneness and there's a place of just relaxation into being who we are. And there's no conflict with that. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm. TJ?
I totally agree with what you were saying there, Don, about learning to do the feminine dance, so to speak, when you're younger. And because I had kids, and I'm a small guy. Kids picked on me mm-hmm. at school, and sometimes I stood up to them, and then sometimes I learned, it's not always a good idea. And then I had a very strict father, and we tiptoed around him. We were afraid of him because he'd raise his voice, and we'd go trembling. And so, but I really feel that was designed deliberately for me to learn that other side of it, which I think is a great gift because it's taught me to understand both of those type of energies and know when I'm maybe too far one way or the other, you know, which I still from time to time get caught up in those things, but I can see it pretty clearly now. So I wonder how many guys grew up. Part of with me growing up as a child was I had this emotional energy, this love for others. And you learn as a boy early on, at least I did back then in the 60s, you don't want to show that too much around other guys. You know?
Absolutely.
You go up to a friend of yours and say, you know, I love you. I think you're wonderful. Or, you know, or hug him or whatever. Different nowadays, but different back then. And so what's cool about all this, Don, is it's come full circle, and I don't care. I really don't.
Yeah.
And so I'll get people in the studio here. They'll work commercials with me and stuff because I work on the radio. And I'll tell them, you know what? You know why I'm doing this for you? And it'll be a guy looking at me. And I said, because I love you. And I'm kind of joking with him, you know. But he'll look at me and go, and it's like you just see their heart open up that they can't believe somebody is saying that.
Yeah.
And I think the time is right for this. And not only have things changed, but the energies have shifted and the awareness. So the time is right for this, Don.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. I love where you're going with that, with the whatever way we came from.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of ways, really serves us to open out to what we needed to learn and all that stuff. And I totally get that, and I agree with it tremendously. I'll give you a quick example on a men's intensive just recently. I had never done a sweat lodge, and so I don't know if everybody knows what that is, mm-hmm. but you go into very very heated environment, and there's all kinds of sacredness going on with it. And the person running the sweat lodge said, now, you may have some relatives come to see you, you know. And what happened for me was I had always made my father and my older brother wrong for the way they treated me. And those two came, they're both passed now, and they came to me, and I found myself thanking them for teaching me to walk this path that I have in this lifetime. And it was so surprising to me because I had always almost kind of blamed them for my trials and tribulations, if you will. But I found myself in that moment just understanding that they really taught me a lot, and it put me on the path that I so passionately am walking in this lifetime. So I really love where you went with that.
Hey, Don, can I ask you this? When you saw these in the sweat lodge, were they different from what you remembered them? Was their presence different than what you saw, what you remember?
I imagine them as being almost saintly figures with a softer countenance and a kind of a big heart and a energy of almost like, now you understand, but also we're kind of sorry we had to do that, but it was necessary. Mm-hmm. You know, it was that kind of energy I felt. So that's a great question because this is the first time I've really tapped into that. But, they were different. They were very different.
I had the same experience with my father, but this was after he passed, and he came to me in a dreamlike visitation, and he was surrounded by white light. And I had asked for this. I had been meditating on it, and he just showed up, and he sent this wave of love through me. I can't describe it. It's the love of the universe. My mom did the same thing, and my twin flame also did the same thing to me. But the thing was that this being I thought was my father, not the same. And it's like, this is what we lose sight of.
Yeah.
It's like they're just playing a role, and what we truly are,
mm-hmm.
is these beings mm-hmm. of incredible love. Just what we I mean, this is what we lose sight of, and they're playing a role, and we hold it against them, and it's like, I'm grateful for all that they did for me.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I had a few experiences, but I'm going to let you guys talk.
Share your experience.
I'll hug it.
Go ahead and share it. Please.
All right. I have a brother, and I had these experiences. He and I time traveled as children together, and he played the villain and the student in my life at the same time. And before he died, 3 days before he died, he said to me, come and be with me. You've helped me do this 12 times before. So I did the shamanic walk with him to the other side. And he would say things to me like, I am a friend of the dove. And the day I was going to a service, there's this big knock on the door at 6 in the morning. And anyone who knows me, I'm not up at 6 in the morning. But I went and answered the door. And there's this dove at the door. And this dove follows me everywhere for like weeks at a time. And then he starts communicating. He shows up at the Heartthread training when I was getting trained for that. He came and sat behind me, and John Henry was just saying, you're never alone. And there's Tommy behind me. When I was dying, he would sit in the cab next to me. He would close the door behind me at the doctor's office. And even now, he'll just poof in wearing a long white robe, smoking a cigarette, like he's, because he can, you know. He was a big smoker, so now he does it just to show off, you know. But he's always there, and it's interesting because I can feel his love and I can see his love, and all I have to do is focus and get present, and I can feel his presence. And because there is no thin veil anymore, it's really about just staying connected to the source and embodying all we are. And we're not limited about how we're meant to experience love anymore. I really don't feel that. And I do feel all ascension is a shift in perception. And more the beings keep showing us that. There's whatever veils were there, they disintegrate when we recognize connection. So anyway, that's why I was going to let you guys talk, because I don't need to talk.
No, that was good.
I talk all the time. I'm a woman.
I love that, Joy, and I'm glad you shared that, because you've told me about that a little bit, so... But not quite in that detail, or not quite like that. So that was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think it's natural that I would feel Tommy's love today, because I am with two dear soul brothers. And when he was going, I was so distraught, because he was the man in my life, you know. And all of a sudden, my soul brothers started showing up. So to me, you guys are also bridges for that with him, your love and your hearts. And, you know, you also show me the kindness that men have, that they can live balanced in form. Do you know, you guys are like a commodity. I have many, many women that would want to take you and adopt you. So if we ever have a girls, where are the guys party, I'm going to invite you, but Sandy can come too.
Yeah, I don't think she'd want you adopting me out to another woman.
No, no. We'll bring Dawn in. We'll have a balanced harem.
Yeah. Well, Joy, that's a perfect segue into one more thing that I want to say, and that is women are so thirsty for this understanding. I can't tell you, if I just talk a little bit about it, there's so many women that just, number one, don't believe it's possible to have a gentle, open-hearted man that's still in his masculine energy. And number two, they don't understand the differences. And when they do, their faces light up. They get it. Men are the same way. They're just less expressive about that. But it's just such a wonderful way to understand who you relate with. And we haven't talked about family or children. If you're talking about a mother and child, whether it's a boy or a girl child, there's so many interconnections with understanding how this child works in the world, and encouraging that rather than trying to restrain it and keep it bottled up into a cage or something. And I'm talking about, you know, if a young boy is basically at home in his masculine, he's going to want to jump around and try dangerous things and be you know, in his direction and to take on challenges and challenge other people. And that's very disruptive a lot of times. So a lot of parents try and really contain that energy. And so if mothers and fathers just knew a little bit about these understandings, it helps everywhere. It really does. It's just beautiful.
I think that is such an important piece. So really, really, because I think of all the little kids I work with and the ones that have rowdy energy and everything, and, you know, you're looking at them, especially the boys going, you know, like, what is this? but here's the thing. Are you going to write a book, Don?
Oh, I don't know about that. Who would read it?
I'd read it.
I'm serious. CJ and I will read it.
Yeah.
And we want autographed copies, too.
Well, the wonderful thing about speaking about books and information, David Deida, D-E-I-D-A, is all over YouTube. He has workshops, and he's written 10 books about this subject. And a gentleman called John Weiland, who's my personal teacher, he's out on the West Coast, and he does a lot of wonderful men's work. He even has a whole 9-month women's program. He does couples program. They are really tapped in, and the gurus of this this wonderful masculine feminine energy awareness. So if anybody listening wants to find out more information, just put Wineland, is wine as in drinking wine, and then land. So wine, John Wineland, just YouTube that or Google it, and you'll find a whole host of information about all this work that's just gorgeous and so exciting, because they are really making an impact, especially with young men. And I'll say this last thing, you know, because of this toxicity of the Me Too generation and all that stuff, men, young men specifically, are hiding their masculine energy because they're afraid to be labeled that. They're afraid to be accused of stuff. They're afraid to impart fear and anger and upset in the women around them. And so what's happening is they're becoming more gentle, more feminized, and just hiding their natural proclivities because of the fear of this kind of a generation. So John Wineland specifically is doing a ton of work with young men and how to hold their masculine energy, embody it in their everyday life, and hold their heart open.
That's
as
important.
Well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really, really mm-hmm. sacred work. It's sacred work.
Yes, it is. And I do want to say, too, I don't feel the YouTube movement was started to create divide. I feel it's intended to hold imbalance, to hold a balance point. And it just feels like all of these different things going on, organizations, what you're talking about, this piece with men coming into their hearts, this is all part of the hologram that's being mm-hmm. activated, that is
yeah.
creating the next piece after this piece, and it just seems to be going on. Don, I still would like to have you come and work with kids, boys particularly, at some point. I haven't forgotten that. And TJ, you're always welcome. You know that wherever mm-hmm. I am, you have a home too. So, I wanted to put that out if you are interested too.
I would love to join. In fact, in our last recognition, which was just a few days ago, I made a commitment to all the people there and to the world that, you know, I am retired. I have time to move around. I will travel anywhere and work with anybody that my schedule works with to open all of this out to a more healthy place. I am just totally committed to that. And every time I'm in a workshop, there are so many women that are so appreciative of mm-hmm. a gentle, heart-open, masculine mm-hmm. energy that embodies that. And,
yeah.
and they just are so wonderfully affected by that. And it's just my mission to do that. So I would be happy to come down.
Well, thank you. And thank you for all you're doing, you know, both of you. I can't say TJ. TJ, I thank you always for, you know, making all this work and making it possible and for touching the world in the ways you do. And Don, thank you for
Thank you, TJ, very much.
Thank you for
your help here. I love relating with you. I can't wait to meet you sometime.
Same here. I feel like it's like I know this guy. We've done this before. We've done this dance before, and so it's like a heart open connection that we've made here.
Yeah.
And Joy, you know, obviously,
great.
You know, I love you dearly. So thank you too.
Sure, and thank you again, Don. We'll talk.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay?
Anytime. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing everything you did. You were great.